Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places, and the first place is going to be by way of background from the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 21, and just the last two verses of that chapter, Deuteronomy 22, and we'll focus on verse 22 and 23, and then we'll read from the book of Galatians chapter 3. Our text this morning is verses 10 through 14, and Deuteronomy 22 is quoted there, and I want to read that by way of background. First of all, let me see here, just a minute, I got to get to the right text myself. Deuteronomy 21, I'm sorry, I was in the wrong book. Deuteronomy 21, beginning at verse 22, and I'll be reading through verse 23. Deuteronomy 21. This is the word of God. "And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance." And then if you'll turn with me to Galatians 3 as well. Galatians 3. And for the sake of context this morning, I'm going to begin at verse 1 and read through verse 14 of Galatians 3. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Thus the reading of God's word this morning from Deuteronomy 21 and Galatians 3. Keep in mind this morning I have put in your bulletins an insert, which is an outline of this morning's message, which may help you as you follow this morning. One of the most difficult things for believers to understand is, what is the role of the Mosaic Law in my Christian life? We have all these Old Testament laws that we find in the books of Exodus through Deuteronomy, and the question often is raised is, how do these laws apply to the New Testament believer? And how are they part or a part of our salvation? Are they all expired? Are we to keep some of them, but not all of them? And what does Paul mean when he quotes Leviticus 18:5 in verse 12 of our text of Galatians 3, when he states, "The one who does them shall live by them"? Is the Apostle Paul telling us this morning that Old Testament believers were under a do this and live principle? And if they were, how does that apply to New Testament believers concerning the laws of God? If these questions have troubled you, you are not alone. The Apostle Paul was dealing with this very question during his time of writing the book of Galatians. And throughout church history, Christians have continued to try to figure out these difficulties. But what often gets lost in that discussion of these verses is the heart and the message of what this passage is. A beautiful description of the grace of God which has come to us in Jesus Christ. What our Savior has done for us on the cross. And the question we want to focus on this morning is how God has given us this blessing. This blessing of His grace and salvation, cursing that has come upon our Savior so that we, as God's people, receive this glorious salvation. Let us begin this morning with the Galatian problem. You remember in previous sermons that we have spoken about the issue facing the Galatians? The Apostle Paul came into their city preaching the gospel of Christ. He preached that the only way to salvation was to believe in Jesus Christ alone. He died on the cross. He paid for their sins. He rose from the grave. And Christ did it all for their salvation. Yet as we saw in chapter 2, there were those who came from Jerusalem, who came into the Galatian church and were saying that they needed to do something more to know and understand this salvation. Some were saying that they had to be circumcised to finally know and understand the salvation of God and of Christ. Some said they had to obey Jewish laws, Jewish food laws or ceremonial laws. Whatever they were saying that something more had to be done for them to be considered Jews that had come to Christ and to be saved. Even the Apostle Peter, we were told in chapter 2, was influenced by this teaching and withdrew table fellowship with Gentile believers until they did what was necessary for salvation. The Apostle Paul opposed Peter. And we know later, as the Apostle opposed Peter, Peter came to understand this confusion. But nevertheless, as the Apostle is writing in the book of Galatians, he is clarifying the gospel message to the Galatian believers. And he does this by the way of the Abrahamic covenant. As he speaks of the justification problem in Galatia, he begins his clarification of the gospel and justification by faith through Abraham. And we saw that in chapter 3 concerning verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. What the apostle is reminding the Galatian believers of is how righteousness came to Abraham. Abraham in Genesis 15 was given the promise. The promise that God would provide a descendant, a seed, an heir to his promise that God had given Abraham, that he would have as many descendants as the stars in the sky. And here is Abraham, an older man, a wife who is past the age of childbearing, and Abraham is starting to doubt whether God's promise will ever come true because he has no child, he has no heir. And God reaffirms his promise in Genesis 15. He tells Abraham that he will have a son from his very own flesh that God will bless him with, and this son and his descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky. And there, the verse 6 that Paul quotes from Genesis 15, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, it's not just that Abraham believed that as an old man and with an old wife, God would miraculously give him a child. That's part of it. But we also see in the second part of that verse that it was counted to him as righteousness. That means Abraham understood something more. He understood that he was a sinner, that he was in need of God's grace, that he could not save himself, and that God, in this promise, was going to send him deliverance from his sin. We see that as Paul speaks of that in verse 8 of our text in Galatians. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. The promise in Genesis 12, where Paul quotes it, in you shall all the nations be blessed, Abraham understood that there was salvation in that promise. That somehow, as he, the sinner, would be saved through the promised seed that God had promised through him, that justification, Paul tells us, would come to the Gentiles, that righteousness, as he believed God's promise, would come unto him, and God justified him. Verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Paul goes first to Abraham, and he responds to this Galatian error by saying, look how Abraham believed God. He did nothing in the flesh, no works. He wasn't even circumcised yet, because God didn't give the promise of circumcision until Genesis 17. And yet in Genesis 15, Abraham is declared righteous because he believed God, and God gave him the gift of faith so that righteousness comes unto him. But now, as the apostle carries on his argument, he knows there are a lot more laws to deal with. He knows that the Judaizers who have crept into the Galatian church are also speaking of the law of Moses. And they want these Gentile believers to somehow think that there's something they have to do, or something more they have to do than believe in Jesus Christ for salvation to be saved. So Paul then addresses, out of the context of what he has said about Abraham, the Mosaic law. And you notice he quotes throughout these verses several different portions of the Mosaic law. I've laid them out there for you in four particular points on your outlines. But there is a flow, you see, to what the apostle is saying. First, verse 14 or verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Now, what is he saying? The apostle Paul is speaking to the Judaizers, and he is speaking out of his own experience. Earlier in the letter, he spoke of how he was a Pharisee, how he was trying to advance in the Judaism and the traditions of his fathers in chapter 1, in terms of Paul the Pharisee trying to be justified by his own righteousness. Paul lived this. He experienced this. He knows what kind of people, what kind of thinking he is addressing. And so he starts out as he addresses the Mosaic law in verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law, just like I once tried to, guess what? They are under a curse. The law has no power to save. No matter how much you try to keep that law, you won't keep all of it. Look how he goes on to describe it, using that verse from Deuteronomy 27. For it is written, verse 10, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. Cursed is everyone, he tells us, reminding us from that Old Testament law that if you don't keep all of them, if you don't abide by every part of that Mosaic law, all those laws from Exodus through Deuteronomy, all those laws, if you do not abide by them, cursed are you because you have failed to keep them. You will not be saved, Paul says, if you try to save yourself by the keeping of the law. It will only lead to a curse. Look how he emphasizes this point in verse 11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. You can't do it, you see. In your flesh, you are created as a sinful creature. Adam was the first head of the mankind, and he sinned. And all those born in Adam are sinners. They are enslaved to their sin. They are unable to keep the law of God. The apostle Paul now understands this as a Pharisee. He, in his sinful inability, is unable to perfectly keep the law of God. He's reminding the Judaizers that they, in their sinful inability, are unable to keep the law of God for justification. They will never have enough righteousness. They will never have enough righteousness to stand before a holy God and say, I kept all the law. I'm just. Now, the Pharisees taught that. The Apostle Paul used to think that he could do that. But he has come to realize when he saw the resurrected Christ that he can't. And so as he begins his argument, he begins with the total inability. Man is unable to perfectly obey God for justification. Cursed is the one who tries. But then in the second part of that verse, he gives us the second part of that antithesis. Now notice, the first part of verse 11 is followed by the second part. On the one hand, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, but the righteous shall live by faith. The antithesis of trying to be justified by the law is that you live by faith. And he quotes from the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. One of the prophets who ministered at the end of the Mosaic era, during the time of Jeremiah, shortly before the kingdom of Judah was taken over and destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The just, you see, shall live by faith. The righteous, he tells us, shall live by faith. Paul is picking up again on what he has already established in the previous verses through Abraham. How did Abraham obtain the righteousness of God? It wasn't by his ability to obey the law. It wasn't because Abraham was a good person. It wasn't because Abraham had perfectly kept God's law. It was because Abraham knew he was a sinner. He was because he knew that he could not perfectly obey the law of God. And what Abraham needed to know is that God would send righteousness to save him. And when God gave him the gift of faith, when he believed in the salvation of God that God would send through his seed, righteousness was credited to his account. And he was just. Now Paul, from one of the prophets, is picking up on that same very theme. You Judaizers who think that somehow you can do something to be justified, that think you can be good people or good persons to somehow be justified, it's impossible, you see. It is evident that no one is justified by God, by the law, for, the antithesis, the righteous shall live by faith, the gift of faith that God gives you so that righteousness comes to you. Then in verse 12, as the apostle goes on, he gives us another verse, an antithesis verse. And he does this emphasizing for us what he has already established. But the law is not of faith. The law cannot save you. If you're focused on the flesh, if you're focused on law-keeping, you're not living by faith. If you're saying that you have to do something so that you can finally be saved, you're not living by faith. You're living by the flesh. You're living by focusing on what you can do or how to improve yourself or what you yet must do in the flesh to be saved. And Paul says, the flesh cannot save. The law-keeping is not of faith. That is of the flesh. That is of yourself. Rather, he goes on, the one who does them shall live by them. Again, the apostle, in quoting Leviticus 18:5, is reaffirming what he has already said. He is not saying, as you go to the Old Testament, and as you see, Leviticus 18:5, there is a works principle, you see? And if you keep this works principle, that's what that law is teaching, then you will be blessed. What the Apostle Paul is doing is he's highlighting what somebody who thinks you can be saved by the law is thinking they can do. But the law is not of faith. Rather, if somebody's focused on law keeping, the one who does them shall live by them. A law keeper will think that if he does them, he will live by them. He thinks that somehow in his flesh, if he does something, he will live. And what the Apostle Paul, having established what he has done in the previous verses, is doing is saying the opposite. He is reminding us, he is reminding them, that that's not possible. You cannot, as the Judaizers wanted to say, do something to be saved. You can't say to Gentile Christians, if you do them, that is, be circumcised, if you keep laws, you cannot have salvation. If you think that somehow in the flesh you can obey this law, you will not have salvation. In other words, the apostle is using this verse against the Judaizers who are trying to use it to prove their point. And what he wants to establish is, you see, their inability. Now, we can say in this verse that there's a condition here, right? To come to understand salvation in Christ, we're given a condition. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Can you do the condition in the flesh? No. The Spirit has to equip you. The same thing here with this principle. The one who does them shall live by them. A condition. Can you keep it? Can a fallen sinner in his sinful inability keep it? No. Only by grace. And the apostle drives this home, you see, in the verses that follow. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us from that law. He has redeemed us from what Paul has told us the law leads to in verse 10. A law-keeping faith, a law-keeping is no faith, leads only to curse because you cannot perfectly keep it. But Christ, Jesus Christ, you see, redeemed us from that curse of the law. He saved us. He took that law. He took that sinful inability. And though he kept it perfectly, he took our inability and put it upon himself. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. Jesus Christ, the promised seed given to Abraham, came and redeemed God's people by taking the curse of our inability to keep the law upon himself. Jesus Christ went to that cross. He took that inability that we are born with and went and submitted himself for what was due for our inability to keep the law. And not only did he become a curse for us, but look what it goes on as he quotes the verse from Deuteronomy 27. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. We read the verse from Deuteronomy. The Deuteronomy verse which speaks to us about what happens to those who have committed certain crimes and they are put outside the camp and they are hung up on a tree and they are left out there as cursed by God. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was put up on a cross, a wooden cross, a tree, outside of Jerusalem on the hill of Calvary. And as he hung out there on the cross, he hung out there cursed by God. Not for his sins, for he was sinless, perfectly righteous, but he submitted himself to God's curse for us, due for our sin. Do you see what the Apostle Paul has come to understand for his own life and what he wants the Judaizers and you to understand as well? That when you understand what Christ did for you on that cross, when you understand that he took God's curse for your inability to keep the law for you. That in your law keeping, it can only lead to curse, and he knows that. He suffered that death for you. How can you then look at our Savior on that cross and think that somehow you've done something that God's grace will come to you? You can't. How can you credit yourself, even for a little thing, to say, well, this is something I did. And when you do that, you take away what Christ did in fullness for you. And so the apostle goes on in verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus, who was hung on that cross, hung on that tree, cursed by God, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That blessing that God spoke of, or that Paul spoke of in verses 7 through 9, that blessing that the salvation of God would not only come to Jews and God's people, God's or Abraham's direct seed, but also to the Gentiles. The salvation that Abraham understood, the salvation that Abraham believed in, even before circumcision, Judaizers, even before circumcision, Abraham believed this. And yet, Christ has died on the cross. He's paid for those who have failed to keep the law, so that by God's grace, that salvation would come not just to Jews, but to Gentiles as well. And how does that salvation come to you? Look at the last part of that verse. So that we, Paul is saying we, Jews and Gentiles, might receive the promised Spirit through faith. That Spirit of God that comes upon God's people, that Spirit that takes that inability to keep the law and applies what Christ did on the cross for you unto you. That promised Spirit that is received by faith, those given the gift of faith, their hearts are changed by the power of that Spirit. And that Savior and His work on the cross that Jesus has done is given to you, is applied to you, so that you are justified in Christ. Remember how the chapter began in chapter 3 of Galatians? In verse 2, Paul says, "Let me ask you only this, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing it by faith?" God preached the gospel through Paul to them. They heard the gospel, and God's gift of faith enabled them to believe, so that the law would no longer apply in terms of their salvation. Only the righteousness of Christ would justify them for salvation. Verse 2, having begun by the Spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh? You see what Paul's saying? You've got the Spirit. How can you think that you can improve on your salvation in the flesh? How can you think that you can become a better person, more sanctified by your own ability, by circumcision, he's saying, or by some other Jewish law that you try to keep? It is all of the Spirit. And what the Spirit does, that Spirit applies that grace of God to your hearts, to your minds, so that in Christ alone, you know that you are justified. You know that your sins are paid for. You know that the righteousness of which Abraham knew has been given to you and is applied to your account. And in your understanding of the grace of God, the law of Moses in your life is applied by His Spirit. The law of Moses still applies. It applies in the fact that once that salvation has been given to you, you seek to live out that righteousness of God, that law of God, which is the love of your heart, because God has changed your heart to love Him and want to be like Him. And that Spirit enables you more and more to live out that righteousness of God. But yet, as Paul tells us in this text, that law cannot save. Your law keeping cannot save. It is only by the grace of our Savior who died on the cross and paid for our sins. As we think about the Mosaic Law, all the things we're told, all the things which sometimes confuse us from Galatians all the way to the present day, don't forget the wonderful message of God's grace laid out in this text. Blessing out of Christ being cursed for you on the cross. May this blessing, may this grace inspire and encourage your spirit each day as you live before Him out of His grace. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word, which reminds us of our Savior and what he did for us on the cross. Lord, as we look at ourselves in the flesh, we know that we have no hope without you, but only in the grace that you sent us in our Savior, who perfectly kept the law for us, who died on the cross for us, who took the curse that was due us for our law breaking upon the cross and paid for our sins. And Lord, as we are awed by this grace, as we are humbled by it, we know that it is only by your Spirit that you have enabled us to understand it. Your Spirit changing our hearts so that, Lord, we have this gift of faith in which we can know and understand this great salvation you've given. Lord, be at work in our hearts so that, Lord, the law is not our enemy, but our friend. That we would see what it means to know God and His grace. That we would desire to live out that law, not for righteousness' sake, for salvation, but only out of the grace of God, which enables us by your Spirit to desire to please you and reflect the righteousness of the God and the Savior we know in our hearts. May you grant us this grace. May your Spirit be at work in us each day. May you sanctify us more and more by our Savior and His work alone. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.